Good stuff from David Poyle. We always enjoy our conversations with him. John Roberts coming up here soon, covers NASCAR for Sirius XM. Willie, good job getting David to tell that story. I don't think, heard a lot of great stories from David over the years. I don't think I remember that one. That was pretty cool, especially the Sports Illustrated, the front cover. That was a great story.
Can you imagine what that was like for Jim Craig? It's amazing he didn't completely break down. I wonder how often he is a public speaker and he has told many stories, many years. I wonder how often he gets into that part of his life because, you know, that lightning in a bottle, that performance he had at the Olympics is amazing. And so we had that discussion when the 40th anniversary came around and they put the movie on and Bob Costas was on there and Al Michaels was on there. They had some great interviews in retrospect of the people involved. You know, we were talking to Richard Deitch about his interview with Ken Dryden. How about the story about the Flames wouldn't even shake his hand when he came out there? All these Canadian guys like, we don't really care what you just did. Who cares? I mean, this is the NHL. We got to beat the Montreal Canadiens tonight or whatever. Welcome to the league, rookie.
Right.
You're not taking my job.
I'm not surprised by that at all, though, but it's still fun to hear it, right?
Yeah. Well, how about coming off the airplane? He's sick as a dog, and he hugs David Poyle. I was going to ask David if he got strep throat because he hugged. And how many people got strep throat trying to hug him at the airport? All the girls wanted to kiss him and stuff, and he had strep throat?
Yeah. Yeah, we think about that stuff a little bit differently in these times, don't we?
Yes, yeah. Especially
I was about
right
to say
now,
that hits a little close to home right now.
I told you, I hope we're forced to all wear masks in the cold seasons when we get on planes. I hope that's the case. I think we've been way too loose. You know, I hope we have to wear masks during cold and flu season. A lot of people will be healthier, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
probably not a
bad
idea.
Maybe bring down the healthcare industry a little bit, right? Less people filing claims, less trips to the doctor. That would be nice, huh? What a concept. All right. Also, what a concept. Sports actually going to happen. Something live to talk about? What? Yeah, they're about to hit the track. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Now we're going to talk about it with John Roberts, who covers the sport of NASCAR for Sirius XM. John, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on, especially here when we have some, at least some good news about the world of sports coming back.
Yeah, you should have a little bit more pep in your step as we head into the weekend. NASCAR kind of being the first to come out and say, we're coming back. What did you make of the news?
Well, I kind of expected it overall because I think it really makes good sense to have NASCAR lead the way on getting back. First of all, there's a tremendous business aspect when it comes to NASCAR. If you take one of the top teams, for example, Hendrick Motorsports, they employ over 350 people. So when you shut that down, that's a big chunk of the workforce, you know, around that area. But also another thing about having NASCAR lead the way is these are really big outdoor venues. I mean, we're going to Darlington, which is about a mile and a third, mile and three-eighths racetrack with a tremendous amount of space in the garage area. Then you come up to Charlotte, which is a mile and a half racetrack. So there's plenty of room to make this work and to make this work safely. And for another thing, when it comes down to it, that the competitors aren't on one another like they are in basketball and hockey and football. There's a tremendous amount of physical contact. Once a driver gets in his race car, I don't think it matters that much to them at that point whether there's fans in the stands or not. So all around, I think it makes really good sense. And this morning I was talking to a couple of different general managers of race teams, and they're taking it one step further. What they're doing is normally everybody's kind of around a car. You know, you get it on the hauler and you send it to the racetrack. Some guys stay back and some guys go. Well, they're separating their crews out to where the guys are going to load the car on the hauler, and then you're going to get the hauler driver in there. And all he's got to do is drive 2 hours down the road to Darlington. No airplanes, no hotels involved in this thing. And then the guys that are going to pit the car and work on the car at the track, they're going to find their own way down there without making contact with the guys back at the shop. So I think it all makes really good sense, and I'm pretty dang confident here, guys, that this is going to be a safe event.
Do they feel good about the response they got from just, you know, we just watched a virtual NFL draft. We're all very accustomed to Zoom these days. Did they feel good that they got a nice response for people watching iRacing, watching these guys basically play a video game? I mean, a really cool video game, but airing that, yeah, did they feel good about it?
Absolutely. Everybody was really excited about that. The thing I liked about that was I always kind of hate when people say, oh, we got a problem. You know, you shouldn't. I don't think we ever have a problem. I think we have just questions that need to be answered. So a lot of people had gotten together and said, okay, well, here's our problem. We don't have racing to broadcast. So instead of saying, well, you know, let's just pack it up and go home, a bunch of guys put their heads together and said, hey, we can broadcast this virtual racing stuff, which is absolutely the realism, I think, is incredible. I think it's incredible that the computer knows when your tires are wearing down, you know, or when the last time you pit was. And just as an example, guys, about how there were a couple races towards the end of last year, actual live races that were on NBC Sports Network, and the viewership was about 1.2 million people for the actual real race. Well, the virtual race from Talladega on Fox got almost a million viewers. So it tells you what the response was to that, and it was really good.
You know, we watched, like I said, the virtual NFL draft and their ratings. Now, look, it's the NFL. They get ratings anyway. They're the top dog in sports, but their ratings were through the roof, and that shouldn't have been expected, or that should have been expected because of the times that we're in. Sports fans were just craving anything. And so they were able to capitalize on that, and they had monster ratings. I mean, heck, we're getting monster ratings for something that isn't live in The Last Dance on Sundays, you know, on ESPN. They're getting monster ratings. How can NASCAR, being the first back, get some new eyeballs on their product and maybe have a chance and an opportunity here in this unfamiliar window to actually gain new fans?
Well, again, you know, sometimes out of adversity comes the best thing sometimes. When Ryan Newman, it seems like it was a couple years ago, but it was only a couple months ago, when Ryan Newman had that horrific wreck at Daytona, it no longer was just a sporting event. All of a sudden, that was front page news. That not only did this thing look so terrible, but Newman survived it, and that brought a lot of new pairs of eyes to the following races out west at California and Las Vegas. So I think what's going to happen, and this happened in the past when things have gone on in the sport of NASCAR, that you get a tremendous amount of new viewers. And it's no question that the viewership and the attendance of NASCAR has waned a bit over the years. And I think if people do tune in that aren't used to watching these races, that there's going to be people say, hey, man, I just want to see sports. I just want to see competition, and I just want to see something live on TV. And NASCAR's probably going to be able to hook a few more fans because Darlington is a very exciting racetrack. It's one of the best places for good finishes and good racing.
John Roberts with us talking NASCAR, and I know that Steve O'Donnell said that the Southern 500 would stay Labor Day weekend at Darlington, so essentially they're going to have three races. We don't know what the rest of the schedule is going to look like, if they're going to try and keep it as is. And I think a lot of that depends on, you know, the states that these tracks are in. But if you had to guess, what are we looking at beyond May 27th when they leave Charlotte? Do you think they try and make up Homestead in Texas, or how does that look?
Most likely that's the way it looks, because the teams have already prepared cars for those racetracks, and they have them sitting in the shop. So that could be the first one. One of those two could be the first that you see somebody, you see the sport actually traveling to. The unique thing about NASCAR, though, is you know, you have every competitor in the sport competing at the same venue on every weekend. No other major league sport is like that. It's a big traveling circus. So that is the reason for this whole idea of these races in the next month of May, all being as close to home as you can. About 90% of race shops are located within 30 miles of Charlotte. So that's why that's the home base. That's why they're going to get a lot of a lot of racing done there. But, man, you're right. Somebody is going to lose a race here. There's going to be a racetrack somewhere. And I hate it because it's one of my favorite events of the season. Is one of a lot of the talk is that Sonoma loses because it's so far out west, and it's scheduled soon, that that's probably going to be one of the first big losers in this thing. Because what it does now SMI is the company that owns the racetrack. They're going to get their TV revenue for an event, whether they race at Charlotte or Sonoma. But what happens is the mom-and-pop grocery stores, the restaurants, the hotels that are around Sonoma, those are the ones that are going to lose out of this whole big thing. But, yeah, that's the big question, and that's why I think NASCAR wants to see how a fanless race goes with no airplane, no hotel stay necessary, one-day shows with no practice and qualifying, and then you see where it is after that. I think they're in a little bit of latency right now, but I think you're right there when you say it's probably either going to be Homestead or Texas because the equipment's already prepared.
You know, a lot of us that cover the sport like yourself, you know, we've been hearing midweek races for years, that has been a possibility for the sport, even as soon as next year with 2021 with that schedule. Now we get to see what it looks like with these races, whether it's Xfinity or Trucks or even Cup at Darlington and Charlotte. I'm very excited about this because with Nashville potentially being on the horizon, you know, could that be a possible? You do a Wednesday night at Nashville and then a Saturday night at Bristol. What do you think about that and what they're trying to gain out of this experimenting because they're able to do it?
Well, their hand is kind of being forced, and I don't say that in a negative way. I say it in a positive way. That they, when Steve Phelps took over as president, he said that 2021 was going to be the year that they redo the schedule in a big way, because NASCAR had a 5-year contract with every racetrack, so you knew where you were going to be racing, what date it was going to be on, for those 5 years. That contract expires this year. So no one is guaranteed a race, and no one is guaranteed a particular race weekend after this. So the idea of weeknight races, the idea of doubleheaders, and even now the idea of shorter races, people have been clamoring for shorter races for years. And that only makes sense because the American attention span is for this 4-hour race event. Sometimes they just seem endless at times. So the hand is being forced somewhat to experiment with some of these things. And I love the creativity of the front office of NASCAR to, instead of shortening a race, changing the name of it. So now I see they don't have to change any logos or anything. Now it's 500 kilometers. So it's still the Southern 500. You just don't have to change the T-shirts or anything like that.
I know. It works out perfectly. John Roberts here with us talking some NASCAR. How big is it that Matt Kenseth is coming back? With the situation with Kyle Larson, it's a very unfortunate one for everybody involved. Chip Ganassi has no choice but to move on. But to bring in somebody like Matt Kenseth to run that car that he's so respected in the sport with the sponsors and, as you said earlier, of trying to get, you know, some new eyeballs on the sport and fans that maybe had gone away, they know the name Matt Kenseth. How big is that for the sport?
Well, it's huge for the sport, and I think it was good for Ganassi Racing to think like that. We initially thought, I mean, everybody's kind of saying, well, this young man, Ross Chastain, who's an up-and-coming talent, was going to take over that car. That was a popular theory. But when we spoke to Matt just the other day, he told us that he was just sitting at the house, not even thinking about it. And a gentleman by the name of Max Jones, who is one of the business partners of Ganassi Racing, called him up and said, hey, man, what would you think? And he said, well, let me mull it over for a couple of days. So he said he sat down with his wife, and what they were talking about was, hey, this is a great kid. Because he left it because of the grind. You know, he left because of the huge long season. I mean, other sports start and end within the NASCAR season. And so he had talked it over with his wife and said, here's a chance for me to go back race. And I'm sure, you know, a few million dollars can always change your mind about what you want to do. And so for him to jump back in the car, the situation's good for him because it's a shorter weekend. have, and cramming three quarters of a year worth of racing into about half a year is what it almost boils down to. And to get behind the wheel of a very competitive car, the 42 car was running seventh in points after the first four races of the season. So he knows he's getting in an established car. Now, his teammate also, him and Kurt Busch are really good buddies off the track. So now he's going to be teammates with Kurt Busch. So I think there's so many positives about that whole thing. You get some old Matt Kenseth fans that are going to get fired back up. He's got a good ride to drive in. And also now, Chip Ganassi and the 42 team, they have a really, really good driver guaranteed for the rest of this year. And Matt told us the other day that he doesn't know what's going to happen beyond that. He could maybe stick around or maybe just hang it back up again.
We're talking to John Roberts, and, of course, we're talking NASCAR. They have made the decision to get going here very, very soon. And, John, with that in mind, I know there's probably a lot of sports entities that will be watching closely to see how it goes, and we've got our fingers crossed that everything goes smoothly here. I'm curious what we should be looking for in terms of any measures they're taking, social distancing. Now, we know the driver sitting by himself, that takes care of itself, but pit crews and the garage and that area where people tend to be a little closer together, are they going to adjust at all for that?
Yes, absolutely. And what, I heard somebody the other day talking about, what you want to do in this situation. They say, well, give it the kid test. Would you send your kid to something? And after what I have heard and been told, if one of my kids worked on a race team, I would have absolutely no problem sending them to the racetrack. I would not be worried about it because NASCAR's worked with local health officials and government officials. In order for you to go to a racetrack, your company has to, your race team, they are going to test you and screen you back at home. You are going to get tested and screened or whatever. You're going to get your temperature taken or whatever you need to do before you go into the racetrack. And then once you get inside the racetrack, they're going to keep the team separated. And we've already, just from last year to this year, NASCAR has said for a cost-saving thing, you only bring nine guys to the racetrack now anyway, or gals, nine men or women on your team. And therefore, there's fewer people already. The garage this year is already more spread out. And again, these racetracks are over a mile in length. Charlotte's a mile and a half in length. These are big infields and big garage areas that can, at times, hold three different race series. So they're only going to have one series at a time, whether it be the Cup, Xfinity, or Trucks. There's going to be plenty of room in there. And you're going to have to be screened twice as a competitor before you get to the racetrack. So I feel very confident in what they're going to do. And I think, I don't want to sound insensitive at all to anybody who's gone through anything with this, but I really feel safe. I would go now, and I would send my children to a racetrack right now.
What kind of media access do people like yourself have? What kind of access will people be having actually covering the race at the track?
Teleconferencing. Media will stay in the media center. And normally, you'd run the garage, and that's one of the really good things about – one of the great things about NASCAR. You could be standing. I remember I was taking a guy years ago. He was an NBA player, and he was going to the racetrack with us. And he said, you mean I can, walk right up to Dale Earnhardt Jr. right before he gets in his car? I said, yes, you can. And he said it was funny. The guy was joking around. He said, if I wanted to, I could slap Dale Jr. on the back of the neck. And I said, well, I wouldn't recommend it. But, you could do that.
You might slap back.
You can always mingle right with the race teams and with the drivers. And that's what made it so, a real enjoyable sport to cover because of the access. But now, so now instead of, wandering the garage area and talking to guys right after practice, they want the media to stay in the media center and in the press box. And they'll bring certain high-profile guys. And I think that from what I understand, some of the NASCAR PR guys with some of the regular media, if there's someone in particular you need to talk to or want to talk to, they'll bring them to a camera in a Zoom type of environment, and you can get your interview there. So there will still be media covering it, and it won't be that much different, I don't think. You just won't be standing right next to the guy.
Good stuff, John. Really appreciate the visit. You continue to be safe, and thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, hey, very, very important question, though. First important question here. Is it Derek that has the German Shepherd?
Darren, me?
Darren, yeah.
Yeah.
Darren.
Yeah, I've got two German Shepherds. Yep.
Awesome. I have one, and I love her to death. So we're basically somewhat related by owning. We're owned by German Shepherds.
Oh.
So.
Yes.
Look, John, I have had German Shepherds in my life pretty much my entire adult life. I love that breed.
So incredible. I love the breed.
Yeah, I've got a big male and a female. So they're frickin' frack.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime.
All right, that is John Roberts, covers NASCAR for SiriusXM. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. You just made the list, coming up at noon.